Look out, world. Here comes the Apostle Paul and you Judaizers. Duck. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back once more by the grace of God with the book in hand to tell forth the truth. Indeed, as the Holy Spirit leads and as the Lord Jesus guides. And I trust you are praying for us. Believe me when I tell you that it is an awesome responsibility to sit down at this mic and to know that many, many people are listening and to know that an account will be given at the Bema of Christ for every word that is spoken idly or falsely or incorrectly. So I trust once again that you are all praying. And here we go again. Privileged and honored to be able to be a part of this ministry. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far as we can get it out there. And to this end, as you've heard me say many times, we are utterly and absolutely dependent on you, our listeners, for your prayers, for your support, for your word-of-mouth advertising in every way. We could not be on the air were it not for you. So we just pray that you are praying for us and telling people about us and supporting us as we continue to put this word out. Now we would, as I have said before, and you've heard me say it many times, and will hear me say it again, we would love to hear from you. Dialogue at Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Or you may email us, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. Okay, got that? And our webpage, of course, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, dialogueministries.org. We'll get you into the webpage, and you can pull down our programs and listen to them. We, of course, are, I'm very sincere about this. I trust that you all understand this. Any help that we can give you, questions we can answer, virtually about anything other than perhaps nuclear physics. You know, I'm a little short on that subject, but any questions that you have or help that we can offer, please do not hesitate to let us hear from you. We will not put your name on a mailing list. We will not hound you for money. We don't do it that way at Dialogue. All right. You kind of like the introduction to this broadcast? Look out, world. Well, look out, because here comes a man that the Lord used to change the very face of Western civilization. Now, you know, you think about this and you say, well, I thought the Lord Jesus did it. Well, the Lord Jesus did it. But once the Lord Jesus had gone away, we get someone new on the scene, and it's this man, Paul. And it is largely through Paul that the gospel goes out to the Gentiles. And it is through Paul that we know anything about the church. Now, I want to tell you something. The church is an important, important subject. I can't think of many things more important other than your being saved. You say, well, you know, I've got my way of doing it, and you've got your way, and what difference does it make as long as you're sincere? And you know by now, if you've been listening to Dialogue for any time at all, you know that I don't see it that way. God has been very specific in telling us about the church and what we should do when we come together. There are very specific things in this book about the church. This is the body of Christ. This is the dearest thing to Christ's heart that we have on this earth. And what we do when we come together is extremely important. And if you don't believe that, I'll pray for you. If you say it doesn't make any difference, I'll pray for you. Just like it makes a difference what you believe if you are to be saved. It makes a difference how you gather when you come together with other believers. And we have got an organization out there today that is big and monstrous and wealthy and in many ways absolutely false. Now, I didn't mince any words on that one, did I? Are there saved people in this big false mind? Yes. There are saved people out there everywhere. And there are many people out there who have been misled and deceived, and yet they are going along as if it didn't matter. And it does matter. And we know very well that as the end times come on and get closer to us, that there is going to be more and more deception out there. And if you, my blessed and beloved listeners, do not wish to be swept up in this deception, you had better get into this word and pay attention to it and know that the Lord has spoken clearly and that he has spoken simply. And that there is a right and a wrong to it out there. There is such a thing as the church. And what goes on when we come together, once again, is extremely important. We also have in this man, Paul, not only the church. In fact, the church is Paul's doctrine. Paul's the only one that you're going to learn anything about the church from. And, of course, not only is it Paul's doctrine, but it's Paul's gospel. If you think you're being saved through some gospel other than Paul's, think again. Paul is very clear about this in Galatians. He said, if anyone, I don't care if it's an angel from heaven who brings to you a gospel other than the one I brought to you, let him be accursed. And Paul's gospel, I don't want to upset any of you unduly, but I am telling you the simple truth. Paul's gospel that has gone out to the Gentiles and has gone out in this dispensation we are living in now, once the Lord died and was buried and rose again and ascended back to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit. And once this gospel went out to the world at large and to the Gentiles, it is not the same gospel that the Lord Jesus was proclaiming to the church when he came at his first coming. The gospel of the kingdom, that is not Paul's gospel. Repent and believe the gospel, said the Lord Jesus and John the Baptist when they came to Israel. And you know, that gospel that they were proclaiming then was, the king is here, he is ready to take the throne and reign, the kingdom is about to be established with Jerusalem at the center, and that was the gospel that Israel rejected, and that gospel will go out again at the end times during the great tribulation, but it is not the one that is going out now. And Paul's gospel is simple and clear, that Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel that is being proclaimed now. That's the gospel whereby men, women are being saved. It is by believing the gospel. Now, you know, if you're waiting for something else out of dialogue, you'll be waiting a long time because that's the message, you know. If you didn't get that, I don't know what else I can tell you. But this man, Paul, is the one that was called, and he's the one that was chosen, and he's the one that went out there with this message. And, of course, when we first encountered him, it sure wasn't preaching the gospel and seeing Gentiles brought in and being saved, was it? No. He was standing there holding the coats of the men who stoned Stephen and killed him. And we saw him at the end of chapter 7 of Acts and at the beginning of chapter 8, murdering and killing and persecuting the church, and bound and determined he was going to stamp this thing out because he didn't like it. Now, I want to show you something before we just hold your place. Turn to Acts 9 and get Acts 9, verse 1 up and start looking at it. Now, hold your place there and look back at 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I want to read to you a couple of verses in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, verses 15 and 16. Listen to this. Paul, writing to Timothy, "This is a faithful saying," or literally, "faithful the word." Paul uses this statement in several places, and here he uses it. "Faithful the word, and worthy of all acceptation." Put this in the bank and believe it. "That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief," and the word in Greek is protos. I am the first one. I'm the head man. Now, this is not Paul's, humble assessment of himself. This is the Word of God. This is the Holy Spirit. And God says, "You put it down." And Paul did put it down. And when you look at this, I want you to understand something. I don't care who you are or what you are out there. I don't care what you have done. I don't care if you are listening to me right now and you are not saved and you know you're not saved and you're lost and you're on your way to hell, which is exactly what you're on your way to if you're not saved. And you are being deluded and deceived by the enemy, who would like to have you believe that you are too evil and too wicked to be saved. I want you to take a look at this one. Paul says, "I am the worst of the lot. I, of all the sinners that Jesus came to save, I am the worst." He came into the world to save sinners. Now, for all of you out there who may think, "Well, I'm not so bad," fine. If you're not so bad, then obviously Jesus didn't come for you, did he? Because this says he came into the world to save sinners. The Lord Jesus himself said he came to call the lost to repentance. He didn't come for the good. He came for the wicked and the evil. And if you are deluding and deceiving yourselves that you're really not all that bad, you had better think again. There are two errors you can make about this business of salvation. One is to think that you're good enough as you are and you don't need a Savior. Right. If you're so good, you're right. You don't need a Savior, and you will hit hell harder than a ton of bricks. And you can be down there with all the other good people telling yourself or wondering, "Why am I here since I was so good?" You'd better think about this. The other mistake you can make is saying, "I am so bad that the Lord wouldn't bother with me." Oh, friends, that's right out of the pit. Look at this. There is none of you out there. I don't care who you are or what you have done. The Lord Jesus came for you, and he died and was buried and rose again for you. Now look at verse 16. Paul says, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me, first of all, Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Paul sets himself forth here as a pattern, as some kind of type, a picture of all who will now believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved. And since he says that he himself is a pattern, it would behoove us to take a real close look and see just exactly what he is. And, this is very important. When he says that he is a pattern, please take a look at this. "I am," he says, and the word in Greek, indeixitai, means that he is an example. All right, now let's go back and let's take a look at this example. But first, another little stop. I want to stop very quickly on our way back to Acts and look at what Paul says about himself in the third chapter of Philippians. So just go to Philippians 3. And here we have Paul saying, in beginning with verse 4, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now I want you all to look at this. This is very important. If you think that just being a good guy is all there is to getting to heaven, just being nice, you had better take a look at this. Paul says, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. Yeah, for all of you who think, well, I'm just living by the Ten Commandments. Of course, that is a deception, and you are lying to yourself big time if that's what you think. No one's living by the Ten Commandments. And the law, Paul says, you know, these Pharisees, they were serious about this. They were serious sun up to sundown, living the law. He was zealous for the law. For those of you who think, well, I'm just living by the Sermon on the Mount. Well, here is a guy who says he was blameless, but he goes on and says, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him. That's Paul's assessment of what he was before he came to Christ. Here is, let's go back now to the 9th chapter of Acts, and let's read some of this and see the chief of sinners in operation. Acts chapter 9, verse 1, Saul, yep, this is Saul of Tarsus, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Now here is a man who he talks more than once in his letters about how he persecuted the church. We just read it in Philippians 3. We can read in 1 Corinthians 15, he talks about his apostleship, and he says, I'm not even fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Paul never forgot this. He was humbled by it, and he remembered all of his life. You think about Peter, who denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here is a man who was actively out there fighting against the Lord and fighting against the church and persecuting Christians. He was determined he was going to stamp this thing out and put an end to it. Well, heading down to Damascus, and having here this Damascus Road experience that many of you out there have had, and I want to tell you something. In my estimation, and I could be wrong on this, I don't want to push it too far, but if you are out there and you are saying, well, I'm saved, I would like for you to ask yourself a question. When did you get saved? And how did you get saved? And how did you first find out that you were lost? You know, a lot of people out there, and I run into them now and then, well, I've always been a Christian. I was raised a Christian. Oh, friend, I beg you, I implore you, think carefully about this one. Can you point to a time in your life when your eyes were opened and when the light of the gospel streamed in on you and when you realized you were lost? Paul, we read it back in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, he says, what happened to me? It's an example. There's a pattern here. And I tell you what, I see this as an ongoing pattern, and it is, you know, I just don't see anything else in this dispensation we're living in. If you are saved, when did you first find out you were lost? What did the Lord save you from? Here is Paul. He's going down to Damascus, breathing out threats and slaughtering against the church. Now, I know that Paul's experience, his actual experience is not going to be duplicated in any of our lives. The light of the gospel, it, you know, the Lord calls us in different ways. But I frankly, I don't think I ever met a Christian who, if you said to him or her, "Tell me how the Lord saved you," they couldn't tell you. You know, I was going along here and doing this, that, and the other, and you know, the Lord broke in, and I realized I was lost. And I believed the gospel, and I got saved. And if you, where you're sitting there listening to me right now, and you can't honestly say, "I remember how the Lord saved me and when I got saved." If you can't remember that and you don't think about it, you had better ask yourself very carefully and honestly, "Am I saved?" Look at what happened to Paul. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks or the goads." Kintra is the word. It's the word for something that stings. And the I am told, and I believe it's true, that the picture we have here is of an ox goad. Goads that oxen, when they were in the yoke, had as a part of their harness to keep them kicking back against the one plowing. These are ox goads, and Paul is kicking against them. Now, the question here is, why are you persecuting me, Saul? He calls his name twice, doesn't he? I love that. You know, the Lord has a way of calling people by name. And if you are saved today, you know very well the Lord knew you and called you by name. You're not a stranger to him. He saw you in him before the foundations of the world. He has always known you. You say, "Well, how can that be?" Well, because he knows all things. He knows past, present, and future. And notice the question here to Saul. Why are you persecuting me? When Paul says, "Who art thou, Lord?" I feel pretty strongly that he knew what the answer was going to be. I can just see him gritting his teeth and saying, "Oh, no. Oh, no." This word, why, you know, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And these are the pricks of his own conscience. He's kicking against his own conscience, and he knows very well, I think, what the answer is going to be. Maybe not. "Who art thou, Lord?" And here comes the answer. "I am Jesus." Now, we're going to have to stop it there. We will take it up, Lord willing, next week. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.